Now, some of you that have known me for a while, or if you've read the weekly Devo, or if you've been to my house before, you know that I like to pretend to be a gardener. I say I like to pretend to be a gardener because I'm really good about like working with power tools, like the tiller, and so I love to get that fired up, and then usually I find I have to work on that and pull out some small engine mechanics skills to try to fire it up and whatnot. But I love kind of planning out, mapping out the garden, where I'm going to plant things, picking out the seeds, and imagining this bountiful harvest like Cheryl Hayford might have out at her house, all right? So every year I think I'm going to have a wonderful garden, just like other people that I know that have wonderful gardens. And so I've been doing this for like, 10 or 11 years now, so you think I probably would have learned a thing or two, right? Not necessarily. It probably took me about 7 years to get rid of the weeds, and then unfortunately, apparently you're supposed to keep pulling those weeds and getting rid of them throughout the summer because they keep coming back. And if you read the Devo this week, I shared that this year was pretty much a complete failure when it came to my garden. It was a complete failure. In fact, it was probably the worst crop that I had all year long, because apparently after you plant the seeds, you're supposed to keep feeding the seeds. You're supposed to keep watering it. You're supposed to be thinning out those weeds all throughout the summer. And so as a result, my garden just kind of got choked out. Part of it, I realize, is I'm to blame. I could try to blame the seeds. I could try to blame the weather. I could try to blame, you know, my son even for breaking his jaw and then I was playing nurse instead. But the reality is I did not do a very good job of cultivating the soil this year before I even planted. You see, normally I go out there and I take all the post out and take all the landscaping fabric that I use to try to keep the weeds down, and I till it up and I work the soil over really good in the fall, and I do it in the spring, and I try to put the right nutrients back into the soil. But this year I thought, you know, I had such a good rabbit defense last year, and this fence, I don't really want to take all that down, so I'm just going to stir up the soil a little bit and replant in the exact same spots. Craig is giving me the look because he already knows how that, what that produced. Well, I kind of spilled the beans. It didn't do well because apparently you can't keep planting tomato plants in the exact same spot, otherwise you get some other disease. So it was a complete disaster. And so as I was looking at doing this little big series, to stories series, I thought, well, of course we've got to look at Jesus's gardening advice for us. And in Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, Jesus tells this parable about the soil. And kind of my key thought, my key point from today's message is that not every seed sown will prosper, but by the grace of God, a harvest will occur. And I thought, you know, that's almost my garden motto. Not every seed I sow is going to prosper. In fact, most of them won't. But if I have a harvest, it's only by the grace of God I'm going to have a harvest, right? So Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, we pick up the story of the parable of the soil. Jesus says, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil, and produced grain, growing up and increasing, and yielding 30-fold, and 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now Jesus is really talking about the soil here. And I know our Bibles often say the parable of the sower, and really the sower is Jesus. The word is the seed. So the message, God's message, is the seed. But what really Jesus is talking about is the kind of soil that's receiving the seeds. And so there are four types of soil that Jesus identifies for us. And really, if we think about it, there are four types of people out there in the world today that we probably could fit into one of these categories, or sometimes multiple categories. The first soil that Jesus talks about is the hard soil. And the problem with the hard soil is that the hard soil will never allow the seed to be planted. There are just some parts of my garden that aren't going to grow anything because that's my walking path in and out of the gate. And even the thistles and the weeds don't survive in that spot, right? There's this hard soil. The problem with it is it's compacted and it doesn't even allow the seed to germinate. It doesn't take root. It doesn't develop. See, hard soil forms in our life when we are living only for ourselves. When we're thinking only about our own needs and our own selfish desires, and we think, you know what, I'm not going to worry about God. God's probably figured it out by now and judged me by now. And so really, all that matters is this life. For people that are hard soil, maybe they don't even believe in God. Maybe something happened in their lifetime and they resulted and you know, they saw, they experienced it all over here. They just lost their faith or never had any faith in God. And they've never really given much thought to what's beyond this world. And that they've only lived for the present time. Hard soil forms in our lives also when we feel, no longer feel convicted over sin. There are some people that you think, you know what, you go ahead and do whatever you want, I'm going to do what I want, as long as it's not hurting anybody else, it's just fine, right? And it's almost like we've kind of washed down our culture where there's no idea of what is right or what is wrong anymore. Not quite to that level, but sometimes we've gotten so confused as to what sin is. And nobody wants to talk about that S word because we don't want to feel uncomfortable, we don't want to feel guilty, but there's a reason why we feel guilty. Because we know that we've broken God's law. We've known that we've failed to love God and we've failed to love others. Hard soil forms in our lives when we stop listening to our hearts, when we stop listening to the Holy Spirit speak into our lives and to allow us to know the difference between right or wrong. I think about those little cartoon images, you know, the one where you have the little red devil on one shoulder, the little angel on the other shoulder, and they're giving you conflicting advice, and you're wondering, what should I do? And usually the red guy kind of represents your selfish desires, and the little angel represents God's desires for your life. And the more you listen to this little red guy over here, eventually that little angel disappears, doesn't it? Really, even though it's a cartoon metaphor, it's very applicable, very appropriate as to what happens in our lives. The more we tune out God, the more we ignore God, the more we ignore the Holy Spirit speaking into our lives, the more our consciences become seared. Until finally that voice, it's like it's not even there anymore, and we just go ahead and do whatever we want. Jesus tells us and explains in John chapter 16 as he's preparing to leave. He's telling his disciples he's going to prepare a place for them. And they're all upset, like, well, Jesus, don't leave us. We're not ready. And he says, no, I must go. And when I go, I will send a helper, the Holy Spirit, who will come to convict the world of sin and to convince the world of righteousness. See, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict us, to help us know the difference between right and wrong, and to convince us of the good that we should do. But if we lose our idea as to what sin is, well, then there's no longer a need to repent, because, well, I'm just doing my thing, you're doing your thing, I'm sorry if it offended you, but I'm just going to keep doing things the way I want, including throwing my Bible on the ground. I don't know, maybe that's a sign. And so Jesus has some words to share about that hard soil. And I love this because the disciples who have been listening to Jesus, they come to Jesus, and I just imagine that all along they've been kind of smiling and nodding their heads and listening to Jesus, like, yeah, it's a great story. Then afterwards they come to Jesus and they're like, Jesus, help us understand it. We don't get it. What's going on here? So Jesus says to them, don't you understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. That's God's message. And these are the ones that fell along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. In other words, when we are hard soil, we never have the chance. Satan is ready to scoop it up. It doesn't take any work at all. And that seed is cast off. It's blown away. The birds come and steal. And that seed never germinates in our life because we never receive it. The second soil that Jesus describes here is the rocky soil. The problem with the rocky soil is that the rocky soil refuses to allow God's word to penetrate our souls. It refuses to allow God's word to penetrate our souls. Jesus continues in verses 16 and 17. He says, these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. Jesus describes for us the rocky soil. The thing about the rocky soil is, you know, the rocks can soak up the sunlight. And for a while, that works out pretty well because it warms the soil, the seeds germinate quickly, but as the seeds develop roots and try to shoot them down, there's nowhere for the roots to go. It's stuck and it's barely hanging onto life. And then as the summer continues, those rocks heat up more, and what's going to happen is it dries out the soil. The seed withers and dies. The problem with the rocky soil is that the roots don't grow deep. And when times of trouble comes, the roots end up drying up. When we think about it, there's probably a lot of people in our country today that we could say kind of fall into this category, right? Maybe not as many as the hard soil, but certainly we know of folks where it seems like they know the problem with the rocky soil is there's a sign of hope, maybe. There's a little germination at first, and it's like we know enough of the lingo to say the right things, to, you know, we might believe in God, but we never actually take the time to read this book and to apply it to our lives. We never take the time to study the Word of God. We never take the time to read it and apply it to our lives. And so as a result, our roots only go down so deep. It's kind of like we want to compartmentalize our faith to one day a week or 1 hour a week. And so it's like, okay, God, you can have this part of my life, but I'm not going to let it penetrate deeply and sink in. And the problem with this is Jesus says when trials and tribulations come, not if they come, but when trials come, that seed withers up and shrinks away. You know, Pastor Melissa was sharing an example of a heartache before. And I can't tell you how many times I've sat down with people who have said, why did this happen to me? And they've struggled. And usually those that make it through, those that persevere through those hard times, are the ones who have taken the time to allow their faith to sink in deep, to penetrate their soul. It's amazing how one's faith can give you strength during those difficult times if you've ever been there before. And so we want to take the time to cultivate the soil to allow those roots to grow down deep so that we can be rooted into God's Word and allow it to penetrate our souls. The third kind of soil that Jesus describes is my garden at home, the thorns. I'm really good at growing raspberries because they spread all over the place. My strawberries did okay. The pumpkins were all right. But the number one thing that my garden produces are thistles and thorns. And it's not a whole lot of fun to be in this garden, right? Jesus describes the soil. He says, others are like the seed sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but then the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. The problem with the thorns is there is a sign of hope, right? So I planted my seeds this summer, and I didn't get out there right away, and I was having a hard time kind of distinguishing, all right, which of these little green shoots are going to end up being carrots, which are my lettuce, and which are the weeds? Because sometimes, early on, those weeds look like the thing that you're trying to grow. It's almost like they can camouflage themselves or something. And so I didn't pull the weeds right away because I wanted to make sure that those little tender shoots had a chance. Then as I could tell clearly, okay, here's a row of something, the rest must be weeds, I didn't go out there and dig it up because, well, I thought, you know, I might disturb the roots of the stuff that I want to keep, and therefore I'm just going to let it go for a little bit. And then when it was finally time to safely pull out those weeds and to distinguish, well, then I was just lazy and I ran out of excuses, but I still didn't get out there to pull those weeds out. And I could see that I had tomato plants that were growing in there somewhere, but I also had some thistles. And I thought, well, surely these tomato plants are pretty robust. They're gonna overpower the thistles, and I didn't do a very good job of thinning it out. And of course, what happened? Those thistles robbed the plants that I wanted to grow of the life and the nutrients they needed. Because the thorns and the weeds, they grow up quickly, don't they? And they take away those much-needed nutrients. They rob the plants of sunlight. They rob it of the moisture that it needs. And even though there might be signs of, or a glimpse of, or hope for a harvest, eventually the weeds went out. Don't allow the weeds in your life to choke out your potential. You know, sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we all have a few weeds, a few thorns that pop up from time to time. And maybe we think, oh, it's, you know, it's just one little weed. It's going to be okay. But just even a few unaddressed thorns in our life can destroy the crop. A few unaddressed weeds in our life can end up destroying the entire fruit, the entire harvest that we've been working hard towards. A few thorns will rob us of the life that we desire. And it will steal the potential, rob us from reaching our potential. The problem with these thorns in our life is that they're going to reappear unless we can get at the root of it. Sometimes I'll go out there and I'll pull those thistles out and it breaks off because I didn't get down deep enough. And what happens? I get three or four other scraggly little thistles that grow up in their place, and it's even harder to get rid of them. Well, Jesus tells us what the thorns are in our life, doesn't he? He says they are those worries, those anxieties, those cares for things of this world. And I wonder how many times have I been distracted by my own worries, my own anxieties, my own aches, and I've missed, and I've allowed it to keep me from reaching God's full potential in my life. Jesus says it's the deceitfulness of riches, desire for material things, it's envy, it's greed. It's also those things, those behavioral issues that we might have in our lives, things like addictions or lust. But you know what? I don't think it's just those things in our personal lives. Sometimes I think the church has a few weeds growing in our midst as well. And I wonder how many churches in our across our nation are plagued by thorns and thistles and weeds. How much conflict have we tolerated? How much gossip has destroyed a church? How much deceitfulness, how much conflict has arisen, divisiveness? In fact, when I look at our nation, I think I heard there was a news story on Facebook and how Facebook was busted for their algorithm of political news, right? You know, apparently Facebook has this way of figuring out which things you're going to like and which things you're not going to like. And so it floods your news feed with the things they think you want to hear and the things you want to see. And as a result, we end up with a country that's even more divided, thinking that everybody else agrees with us, right? And if you don't agree with us, you're an idiot because did you see all these news stories over here? And I'm a little bit concerned for our country because I think we've lost that ability to understand different perspectives. We've lost that ability to understand dialectics and to realize you might look at something from one angle. I might look at it from another angle. Neither one of us is right or wrong. It just means we're approaching it from a different angle.
That's right.
And I get a little bit concerned as to how many times do we end up trying to break off and form these fractions even in our church. The problem with that kind of thinking is it says that we, each one of us, have been created in God's image. And yet, as I look around, I don't see any one person who's perfect. Is there somebody here that's perfect? And none of us reflect God's image perfectly, and so we need to come together as a diverse community so that we can understand the different attributes of God, and so that we can get a clearer picture. So if we're only going to hang out with people who are like us, if we're going to kick Craig out because he's wearing a Green Bay Packers jersey today, I mean, come on, think about all the things that we're going to miss, because here's the guy who probably knows the most about gardening. Right? So if you want some tips, talk to Craig. He's got a landscaping business. No, we wouldn't do that, because the body of Christ would suffer, wouldn't it? And so we've got to address those thorns. We've got to get down to the root of the issue and not allow it to choke out our potential. Well, Jesus gives us one more type of soil here in the parable. He says, But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. You see, there's one more type of soil, that is the good soil. And the thing that sets the good soil apart is it's the good soil that produces a harvest. It's good soil that produces a harvest. Jesus gives us the key to identifying and figuring out how to produce good soil in our life. He says the key is listening to God, by tuning into God, by paying attention, by taking the time to study God's word and apply it in our lives and listen for the Holy Spirit to speak in our lives. Then we can cultivate good soil in our life. We can pay attention to those spiritual truths. Now, some of you probably are here and you're saying, well, Pastor Gordon, I get this parable. I understand that we're concerned about the different types of soil, but what am I supposed to do? I keep sowing these seeds, and I keep feeling like it falls on hard soil. Or I feel like it keeps falling on that rocky path, or I share my faith with my friend and my neighbor, and I know they're going through a hard time. I know that they want to know God clearly, but there's other things in their life that's choking them out, that's distracting them, that's pulling them away. I know God has more for my life, but I'm just not there yet. Well, I think we can remember that we can keep on farming. That God has called us to keep farming. You see, the sower sows the seed generously. It's not worried about what seed is going to germinate. It's not, the sower is not worried about what seed is going to fall on the good soil or bad soil. The sower sows the seed generously. Because we never know which seed will prosper, which seed will produce a harvest. You see, just because you've sown the seed once, you might say, Pastor Gordon, I've invited my friends, I've gone through my list, I've reached out, I've shared with every person that I know, I've talked to this person over and over again, they're just not going to come. They're just not going to reach that point where they can understand God's love. Well, just because we sow the seed once or twice or three or four times doesn't mean that seed is going to be the one that's going to produce a harvest. We never know which one will. But the sower continues to sow their seed regardless of the condition of the soil. You know, sometimes I think the church becomes more focused on trying to identify the different soils that are out there. And we forget that there are other things we can do, right? We can go out there, we can pull a few weeds. We can help somebody through a hard time. We can help dig up some of those rocks. As a youth, I would go out there and I'd rock pick in the farmer's field. And we'd have this wagon full of rocks at the end of the day. It was hard work, but in the end, it produced a better harvest for that farmer and didn't wreck their equipment. There are other things that we can do for those that we know that are struggling. We can develop those friendships, cultivate relationships to make it easier for them to receive God's word, to hear God's truth, and to receive it in their life. You know, I was thinking about, as I was preparing for the message here today, one of the lessons I had to learn very early on in the new church start was the fact that not every seed will prosper, but we can keep cultivating the soil. When we moved here in 2006, there were two other new church starts that existed that are no longer here in Elkwood Market today. Both New Day and Faith Community had launched in 2006. And you know, as I was preparing for this message, I was thinking about, you know, whether a church makes it or not does not define their success. Right? Whether we have a building here someday, or whether we grow to thousands of people, or whatever big God has in store for us, doesn't determine whether or not we were a successful church. What matters is that we keep farming, that we keep sowing the seed, that we keep cultivating the soil. And I'm grateful for the men and the women that came before us who cultivated the soil here in Elkin Market. I'm grateful for people like Pastor Doyle who cultivated the soil with the school district so that we could actually, when it came time to renting the school, it was a smooth transition. It was an easy process because they had already established those relationships with the school and showed the community that, yes, this could be a positive thing for the school district. I'm grateful for people like Pastor Tim and Faith Community. Pastor Tim was the first police chaplain here for Elkwood Market, who showed the value to our chief of police so that when the time came, when they were looking for a new chaplain, the chief police called me and said, hey, would you help us develop this program for the rest of our officers? You see, we might not see a church of 1,000 people, but that doesn't define our success. What matters is that we keep cultivating the soil, that we keep sowing the seed, and trusting that one day, by the grace of God, a harvest will occur. Not every seed sown will prosper, but by the grace of God, a harvest will occur. And so we keep cultivating the soil, we keep planting the seeds, and we recognize that we can't control the harvest, but we can keep sowing. We can dig up some rocks, we can move some rocks, we can pull some weeds, and by the grace of God, we can pray for the harvest to come. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the realization that sometimes there are some things that are just out of our control. God, we recognize that Satan would love to come up and to snatch those seeds that have been sown in this community. That Satan would love to wipe out the work that's been done. But God, we pray that you would help us and encourage us today to continue to be faithful, to sow those seeds, to share your word, to share a message of a God who loves and cares for each and every person here. Each and every person living in this community, that they might come to know and experience your love in a real and powerful way. God, we pray that you would continue to water the seeds that have been planted, that you continue to nurture this church as it grows, and may we continue to be a faithful witness for all that you have in store for us. And God, I pray for each and every person here today, whether there's some stones that need to be moved, whether there's a few thorns that are choking out the life, God, I just pray that you help each and every person reach their full potential in you. God, we pray for all of this in the name of your Son.